I couldn't hear everybody, but I'm pretty sure that none of you were singing the amended version of that song, that 25% I give to Jesus, or 3% I give to Jesus, or not all to Jesus I surrender. Some people sing those, at least in their hearts, and I've been one of those at times, so I'm glad that you weren't at least singing that one out. I'd like you to please turn to Romans chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3 and then 9 through 21. 1 through 3 and then 9 through 21. That's page 844. Page 844 in the Bibles in the pews. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Going down to verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a little hard to say thanks be to God after all those commands, isn't it? We want to just maybe we, in fact, I think some people may even remove some of these commands from their Bibles. Don't do that. At least don't tear it out of the ones in the pews. Want to embrace this. See, as people, we are integrated beings. We're integrated beings. And like Paul, we do talk a lot about our bodies and our minds, and we can separate them, but it's really difficult to divide ourselves. We're unified. In fact, a report I heard this week, maybe you did too, brought this whole thing to mind. A study was done to discover the role of our minds or our mindset when it comes to weight loss and its association with exercise. And it's the first of the year, and a lot of people are heading back to the gym or trying to lose weight or starting different diets. Anyway, they took hundreds of housekeeping staff. Hundreds of housekeeping staff who don't exercise. I mean, their work is very active, but there's no additional working out. And they informed one group, they had two groups, a control group and another group, that they told that that really their work is the equivalent of a pretty high amount of exercise. So it's as if they're working out 4 or 5 days a week. And the others, they just kept working. And so they went back several times over several periods of time, and they weighed the housekeeping staff. And those who thought of themselves as exercising while they worked, some of you are going to get pretty excited about this, statistically, they lost significant weight, much more than those who simply thought of themselves as doing their job, the control group. So the question was, well, does that mean we don't have to work out? We just think about working out, stay active, and you can lose weight. This sounds like a really, I think this one can go somewhere. If you write that book, just give a little bit to the church as a result of the idea coming to you. We're not just our bodies or minds. We're integrated, we're unified. But there's more. We're also not solitary. We're not solitary, just ourselves. We live together. It's our bodies and our minds together. They make us individuals. But we live better, even the most introverted among us, we live better together. We really do. Did you know, this amazed me. There's a percentage decrease in our life expectancy based on air pollution. 5% just based on where you live. If there's a high degree of air pollution, drop 5% from how long you might expect to live. Obesity, 20%. Excessive use of alcohol or abuse of alcohol, 30%. Now, that doesn't surprise any of you, right? We hear these, maybe the numbers. You may have a little higher or lower statistic depending on which study your doctor has told you about. But what about loneliness? What do you think the percentage is of our lifespan shortening or increasing our odds of dying if we experience loneliness? Can you believe that? 45%. I can live in Mexico City breathing that air and eat great food, too much food, every day, and even abuse alcohol. Well, maybe cumulatively, that would put me over the top. But if I had some good friends, it would only increase my life, it would only decrease my life expectancy by 10%. 10%. See, we definitely do better together. See, when I ran my marathon, I didn't die. I felt like I was going to, but I didn't die. And the coaches, I mean, I experienced exactly what the coaches say. They say you can run faster alone, but further together. Faster alone, but further together. And so for me, the wheels fell off because I was running by myself. And near the end of the race, I'm sure I would not have made it if Sosie hadn't snuck onto the course and walked with me the remaining 3 miles. See, they should have probably given her the medal. But when I go out on a long run on a given Saturday, it's going to be maybe more than an hour, and I have someone to run with, I can keep going and going and going. That same run by myself, not so easy. I perceive it as being easier. This is how God's made us. We're better together, not just mind and body, but together as people. And we truly live the Christian life with all that we are together. And we saw in Romans that, he breaks it up. And so we're going to try to take it apart and put it back together again with him. First thing is we want to worship with our bodies. You heard what Paul said, right? In view of God's mercies, present your bodies. Present your bodies to God because that's worship. Now, some of you are saying, no, I don't think he wants mine. I mean, really, maybe you'd like a little less of my body. But he says, present your body, and he doesn't set a standard. He doesn't say if you're in shape. He doesn't say only if you eat the right things, only if everything is right, only if you can run a marathon or ski a double black diamond slope, dunk a basketball, build a house, dig an irrigation furrow, care for children all day long. That's probably the most taxing. He wants your body as it is. Bring it to him. When we offer our bodies to the Lord, knowing the extent that he's gone to save us from our sin, knowing his incomprehensible love for us, deeply aware of how undeserving we are, when we bring our bodies to him, we say, God, here I am. That's worship. We can sing all to Jesus, I surrender. But when we tell him, we offer ourselves to him and say, here I am, that's worship. And when we offer ourselves to him and present ourselves to him for him to do as he wishes with us, that's worship. We're living sacrifices. That means he's not going to slaughter you. You're not going to be like a lamb or a goat. We're living sacrifices, and it's living the Christian life, offering ourselves to him, surrendering ourselves to him, sacrificing our desires, our will to say, God, here I am. That's worship. Here you are. It's my body. It's what I've got. It's yours. And that's worship because he's worth it. He is worth it in view of God's mercy. But again, we're not just bodies. What's the next thing he says? He says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Do not conform or do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, we have minds. I know some of you wonder about some people sometimes, but we do. We have minds, and it gives us the capacity to think and to perceive, to be aware of the world around us. And like we said several weeks ago, the world is hostile to God. And the messages that we are getting through our eyes, through our ears, the messages that we are getting over and over, minute by minute, are at war with our God and Savior. Live for yourself. You can do it all and have it all. You deserve it. You're the most important person on the planet. And you have to look like you're 21 and struggling with an eating disorder, or you're fat. And you're only worth your latest accomplishment. If you can't produce, you're worthless. And if you can't contribute financially, you're a burden, and frankly, you should die. You get to decide what's right and wrong. You get to choose how you want to live your life. There's no accountability here or beyond the grave. As long as you're sincere, you can believe what you want. You can live any way you want to. As long as no one gets hurt and you're consenting adults, you can do as you please. Shall I go on? Lie after lie after lie after lie. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Allow God to transform you. Renew your mind. See, repentance, we hear that word a lot when we invite someone to come to faith in Christ. We use the word repentance. And frequently, we think of repentance being a change in action. A change in action. You got to change your behavior. When you come to Christ, you got to change it. But the root of the word repentance is a change of mind. We think one thing about God, we change our mind, and now we think something different. See, so when he says, do not be conformed, he's saying, live out this repentance. The offering of God of your body is once. You do it once, and then it keeps going. You don't get to take it back. But see, when you change your mind, it's something that has to keep happening over and over and over and over and over again. We let him transform us, but we participate by renewing our minds. Again, I love what Bodvili preached this morning. When I see myself in view of God's mercies, in creation as precious to him and valuable to him, in Christ, I am not the object of wrath that I so desperately fear that I am. I'm beloved. You are not someone to be used to meet my needs. It's entirely inappropriate to ever think of anybody as on planet Earth for the sole purpose of meeting your needs. Created in the image of God, redeemed by Christ, we are people to be cherished, to be served, to be sacrificed for. That's how I need to view you, to cherish you, to serve you, and to sacrifice for you. God sets the agenda. It's His way, not what I feel like, not what I think. His way is the one that matters. And so He calls us to renew our minds, to stop being conformed to the way of the world. And again, it's so easy to say, oh, the way of the world. That's such a churchy thing to say. That's such a preaching thing to say. You rephrase it in your mind. Whatever is coming to you that is contrary to the Word of God, stop. Stop. You see me. By the way, Greg, it seems like you're being conformed. Hey, who are you to talk to me like that? I come to you. It strikes me that the way you're thinking is influencing the way you're living. Your response to me might be, who do you think you are? And I told you, I tried that with my mom. Didn't work too well. I got a slap right across the face. How many times do we want to slap people across the face? When either by their behavior or by their words, they confront us and say, you know, I'm seeing something that doesn't seem to line up with God's word. See, some of you are thinking, this never happened to me. If that's never happened to you, that means you're giving off a vibe that says, don't you dare intervene or meddle in my life. If no one has ever confronted you about a worldly way of thinking, sorry to break it to you, it's not because you're perfect. It's not because you're not doing or thinking in ways that are dishonoring to Christ, but they're scared of you. They want to keep the peace, and I know it said that in this passage, but that's not what it's talking about. Are you willing to let people in your life? Investing in people means that we open up our lives to let others speak into them. It means that we are courageous enough to love someone enough to say something to them. Always look at yourself first, please. Remember Jesus, let the one who's without sin cast the first stone. I'm not talking about throwing stones at each other. I'm talking about loving each other enough to say, you may not be aware. Give the person the benefit of the doubt. You may not be aware. You're probably doing your best, but see, we renew our minds when we align ourselves with God's will and His perspective, and we can see ourselves for who we really are. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. See, we can see ourselves as we really are, not the great and powerful Oz that some of us frequently project. Or you may not be the great and powerful, but you're the poor and pitiful victim. Whichever way you lean, you're someone who, in the mercy of God, has been granted faith. So we can step off center stage and simply be the body of Christ. In Christ, we are of inestimable worth. We've been given meaning and purpose. And Badvili Mugo is going to be presenting this next week, the passage that follows immediately about the different gifts God has given, the different callings that he's given. But we're no longer to be caught in some sort of competition between each other. Every one of us has value. Every one of us has calling, specifically in the body of Christ, to bring glory to God and to cause the body to grow. And again, Badvili will be presenting that next week. But seeing ourselves accurately and seeing each other accurately enables us to treat each other the way God does. And that's in love. See, he calls us to love each other without hypocrisy. And we'll just make some few observations. So please turn there. Make sure you're on Romans 12, because we're going to just zip through 9 through 21. I just want to highlight a few things. The first is that love must be without hypocrisy. When it says love must be sincere, it means that there's no hypocrisy. I mean, should I just stop here? We just take this one, we could go home if we actually do what it says. If I do what it says, you'll be thrilled that I'm your pastor. The kids will be even more happy that I'm their dad. And so you might really get excited about our marriage. Gosh. See, but let's just start with a church, all right? Can we simply say no to the masquerade of politeness? Hi, I'm Vaudeville Greg. I'm Vaudeville Greg. Hi, how are you? Hi. And you, oh, hi, Vaudeville. So good to see you. Thank you for not saying when you're not so happy to see me. But see, there's this masquerade. We're so practiced with pleasantries and smiles and of what we think, and we mask our true feelings. And, you know, I want to be honest with you. I don't take it as a compliment. Vaudeville Mugo teases me about this, but other people have picked up on it too. And I don't take it as a compliment when someone says I have my Badvili face on. What does that mean? What's a Badvili face? Actually, you all have Badvili faces. You could call it your church face. You see someone coming, it's like, oh, hi, good to see you. Badvili. And it's just this fakeness. And again, when it says love must be without hypocrisy, it literally means it can't be a mask. Like the ancient entertainers, they put up the little mask. And I'm telling you, it's killing our churches everywhere, and we all know it. Now, some of us are really sharp, because we see it, and we say, you know what? I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be fake. I don't like them, so I'm going to ignore them. I'm going to avoid them. I'm not going to give them the Badvili face. I'm going to give them the stink eye. But at least I'm not a hypocrite, right? We can't go there, but we do. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be sincere. See, we need to offer God our bodies and renew our minds and cooperate with him as he transforms us into a loving, into a sincerely loving community. And I hope you've experienced the transformation of becoming close friends with someone you couldn't stand. Has anyone ever done that? Have you experienced becoming close friends with someone that you could not stand? Okay, this is being recorded right now, and so I hope my roommate from my DC days, my housemate and my colleague when I was working on Capitol Hill, Bruce Astor. Some of you actually have met Bruce Astor. Bruce Astor, I hated him. We were both believers, and I promise you that the only thing we could agree on was Jesus. That's it. And I think some of you in this room have some people in this room and maybe elsewhere where really the only thing you can agree with them on is Jesus. And you're really grateful that there's salvation, but you're not so sure it's going to work on them. And if they're going to be there forever, what's that going to be like? Oh, Bruce, I'll just give you one snapshot of just my relationship with Bruce. His approach to me was, if you don't tell me what you're thinking about, I'm not going to worry about it. In other words, if you got something to say, say it. Okay, well, my MO was, if I have to tell you what I'm thinking, then it's not even worth talking to you. How's that work for a relationship? Some of your marriages live here. Okay, I know it. Some of your maybe not so friendships are like this. Some of you with your family members, you just lived through it during the holidays. You got a problem? Tell me. If not, it's your problem. Oh yeah, it's my problem, because if I have to tell you, you're not even worth it. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's what verse 9 says. And then it goes on, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another. In brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. See, we're supposed to hate evil, and we're supposed to love good. Love does not tolerate sin. Love does not tolerate sin, right? We've touched on this before. You see something in me? Oh, I love Vaudeville. I'm not going to say it. Really? You love me? I'll know you love me because you say something. We know most of the time we're taking a wrong direction. And if we're honest, we're shocked that no one says anything. Honestly, aren't you shocked that in the last month, no one has confronted you about anything? It's not because you're amazing. See, love doesn't tolerate sin, and it's hard work to love somebody. Any of us whose marriages are continuing to be vibrant, it's because we're willing to work hard. Any of us who have friendships, genuine friendships, that have lasted more than just simply the pleasantries, and we've actually lived life together, experiencing honor, that we've been zealous, continuing, that we remain joyful and patient and faithful in prayer. See, it takes hard work and it takes time. It takes time. The call that we have from God's word in investing in each other, it takes time. Are you willing to do that? At our new members class here, I'll give you the teaser. We're going to talk about what it takes to be a member. And it really isn't just raising your hand. It really isn't just showing up on a given Sunday morning. It means being involved in relationships with each other. Love meets practical needs. You practice hospitality. You share with those in need. And then he gives this long section about blessing those who persecute, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice, live in harmony. Don't be proud. Associate with people that may be lower than you on a social scale. You know, it's amazing that there will never be a time or a circumstance. No time, no circumstance, when by the power of Christ, you and I cannot choose to love. Nothing. Yeah, but they're persecuting me. Bless those who persecute you. Yeah, but they're going after me. In fact, my biggest temptation is to take revenge. That's God's business. That's God's business. Give them something to eat if you can, if they're hungry. Do something good for them. And when he says he's heaping coals on their heads, it's not what you might first think. It's not like, oh yeah, I'll just keep some coals on their heads. It's actually doing good for them. May even bring them to repentance. See, there is never a time, there will never be a time when you cannot love. Do you see how important it is that we renew our minds? Because there's not one of us who woke up this morning thinking, yeah, you know what? There's never going to be a time. I won't be able to love. We have lined up all the conditions that if they don't do this and this and this and this in this order, I'm off. I'm free. It's their fault. Uh-uh. We offer our bodies. We renew our minds. We become transformed people. We see ourselves for who we really are, in desperate need of daily grace. And we love each other. We do the hard work of renouncing hypocrisy, not tolerating sin, working hard, taking time, meeting practical needs. We want to invest in each other. We want to invest in each other. Last week we gave you envelopes of $10. Some of you weren't here. You're welcome to take them in the back. I think Jason will have those envelopes available to you. We want you to do something with the $10. And that's just a little picture. A little picture. Find some way to take that $10 and make something of it. But you know what we really want? You know what God really wants? It's not $10. It's not even 10 times $10, whatever you can earn from it. He wants us loving each other. He wants us offering ourselves to Him, renewing our minds according to His thoughts, His will. And what's His will? That we love each other. See, we truly live the Christian life with all that we are, mind and body, together. Amen. Please stand.